From your heart as unto the Lord. 348, I've been redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Redeemed, how I long to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me will continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think
you got the words? You think I might mess up? Okay. Do you need the words too? Or do you want me to leave it right there?
No, that's
all right. I'll sing right from here. I think this kind of goes along a little bit with what was said this morning. You know, if we're going to worship the Lord, we've got to worship Him from our heart. Right out of here. I wonder, how's your heart tonight? Is it right with God? If it isn't, get it right with God. If you aren't even saved, then your heart can't possibly be right with God. Get saved. But if you're already saved, make sure you're in fellowship with the Lord.
Is it right with God?
that's the thing that counts today. Friend, how would you feel if your heart were made with a window on each side, so that all could see not just outward charm, but detect if inward harm. People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts to about your heart. Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Seems like it's been a long time since I've been in this pulpit. All right. Wow. This morning, Brother Steve G was preaching. Last Wednesday night, Brother Sam was preaching. By the way, Brother Sam did a good job Wednesday night redeeming the time. And what a good challenge that was. That really stuck with me. Good job, Sam. Preaching the word. And here we are now, Hebrews chapter 4. And down to verse 12. A very familiar passage. Now we're going verse by verse through the book of Hebrews. And we just happen to be right here now. You might think, oh, he's just preaching on a favorite verse. No, we're on this part. This is where we're at. We're going verse by verse through Hebrews. And we've been seeing how the children of Israel came up to the promised land and refused to take God at his word. When he said, go on into the land, take it, it's yours. They sent spies in. 10 spies gave a bad report and said, oh, no, there's giants in the land. We can't do it. God must be all messed up, apparently. They didn't say it like that, but that's pretty much what they did. 2 gave a good report, Joshua and Caleb, and said, let's go. God said it's ours. They're afraid of us. Let's go. They didn't listen. They didn't take God at his word. And so the result was, God said, for 40 years, you're going to wander in the wilderness until all of you who rebelled against me and my word are dead. And their carcasses were buried in the wilderness. And Joshua and Caleb survived, and they went into the promised land on the direction of God, because they took God at his word. And I think it's fitting now, when we get to this point here, that it says this about God's word, verse 12. I'm in Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What a great verse of scripture that is. We looked at this last week. We saw how it is quick and alive. Why? Because they're God's words, not the words of a created being. They're the words of one who made everything. They're the words of an eternal living Godhead. And because that word will never decay, it's never going to go away. It's always going to stay there. You know, the people of the children of Israel who went up to the land after coming through the Red Sea, and then God said, go on into the land. They all died in the wilderness. But guess what? God's word was still true about his promise to put them into the land. They all died, but the word of God still lives. And the word of God still lives today. It's quick and alive. It's powerful or active. It's working. It does a work in the hearts and lives of people. We saw that one verse in Jeremiah, how it's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. That's the word of God. It's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. A reference to the Roman soldier's sword, a double edge. It's a formidable weapon. And the sword of the Lord, or sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need this Bible in order to defend ourselves and stand for the Lord. Then it says of it, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. This is a reference to the word's effect upon the three parts of man. You sit here tonight, you got three parts. Okay? One part's looking at me right now. Okay? And I'm looking at your one part. That's your body, your eyes, your nose, ears, mouth, your face. Your arms, your legs, your body, your physical body. You know, the word of God actually speaks to your body and how you ought to walk around, live in your body. It also deals with your soul. That's the part of you who knows that there's other people around you. You came here tonight and you're fellowshipping together with other souls. That's what you're doing. We call each other brother and sister around here, right? But you know what? We're souls for whom Christ has died and saved. And we have a consciousness about us that I'm here, you're here. That's your soul. You know, the body isn't enough. If you just brought your body here tonight and your soul's left at home, we just got protoplasm here, that's all, you know. No, but if your soul is there, and of course it is there, that helps you know that I'm here, you're here, and we're having fellowship together. And then there's another part to you, and that's your spirit. And that's your part which I hope you've even exercised tonight with communion, singing songs, reading the scripture, and having our thoughts on things above, on eternal things. And as a believer, your spirit is awakened and you have fellowship with the Lord up in heaven. And if you don't, if you're not saved, you don't really have a spirit that's alive and in fellowship with the Lord. But the word of God speaks to all three parts of you. Last week we talked about how it's not a hard thing for people and Christians many times to control their flesh. But to put the soul or the self-life in its position to the spirit as it should be is quite another thing. And this is the most plaguing problem in the Christian churches today. And this is the result of why a lot of people seek out these psychology, maybe Christian psychologists. They might go to a conference where they're going to learn how to live and be happy in the Lord and things like that, rather than going to the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to you and your soul and cause you to live in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. They want to go to these self-help. They'll pay money to go to a conference. People will pay $100 to get a ticket to go listen to someone try to get like a cheerleader, get them all pumped up to serve the Lord. You can come to Ray Street Baptist Church for free and get the same thing. And we'll try to do that. Well, we won't get the same thing, but the same effect from the Word of God. You know what? We need to get back to the Bible. Need to get back to the Bible. And I would encourage you to make sure that every day you get a portion of the Bible inside your heart and life and in your mind. Read your Bible. God has given us the manual on how to live our Christian life now that we're saved. Here it is. It is. It's free. At least the King James Version is free, okay? You can copy it and do anything you want with it. The others you're going to have to pay royalty for, but King James Bible's free. And just read it and let it teach you and lead you in the way you ought to go. People want to go and listen to Bill Gothard and James Dobson, Tim LaHaye and Naramore and Swindoll. And there's a bunch of new names out there today. They got, 10 steps to happy Christian living. You know what? Get in the Bible and read the Bible and let the Spirit of God teach you how to live. Christians who appear to have victory in the flesh are living miserable lives in the soul many times. I'm not saying everybody does. But many Christians who appear to have victory in the flesh, in other words, they're not, carousing around, they're not doing bad things, they're not committing adultery and things like that. They know that's wrong as a Christian. But living miserable lives inside here, they're not really enjoying the Christian walk. They're not in fellowship with the Lord. There are things in reference to the self that result in masquerading as spiritual, play acting, appearing sincere, yet you know these things are not really so within. You know, when you're around other Christians and they say, "How you doing?" "Well, I'm doing good." Liar. "How's the Lord treating you?" "Oh, he's treating me good." And you haven't even talked to him for 10 days. You can put an act good on the outside, but, kind of like my song, how about your heart? How is it inside there, in your soul? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. Matthew 22, 37, 38. Maybe you say, while you're moving there, maybe you say, "Boy, preacher, you're kind of getting a little personal here tonight, aren't you?" Yes. But you know what? The Bible is personal. And God wants to be personal with you. He cares about not only your outward appearance and what you're able to do or not do with your flesh. He wants you to have a good walk with him in your soul. All right, Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy body." Does it say that? All right. I just want to make sure you're awake. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what?" And with all thy what? And with all thy what? Man, those are things you can't see. I can look at all of you, but I can't see your heart. I can't see your soul. I can't see your mind. And yet you're supposed to live for God and love the Lord thy God with all those things. Verse 38, "This is the first and great commandment." Wow. You see, the Ten Commandments are often things that you can kind of control on the outside. But how about controlling your heart, your soul, your mind? That's your soul. That's the part of you that thinks. How about controlling that? Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I want you to see what the Lord desires for you. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad to see that you're all living your physical lives in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. You're not committing adultery. You didn't come in here drunk tonight. You're not cussing and swearing with your lips and things like that. Amen. Good job, everybody. But what about that part of you inside that none of us can see? That you can often conceal and masquerade or hypocritically kind of make everybody think everything's real good inside just like it is on the outside. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, I don't believe that it's the intent of the Lord that you have to run to these doctors and get pills to control your mind and your thoughts and, you know, calm yourself down, depression, or I'm too excited, I'm too hyper, I need to be brought down. I have bad thoughts all the time and things like that. Hey, try a good dose of God's word. Get it in every day. And not only try it, I know it'll work. Okay? I know it'll work. Because it says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. See, that's not something you can grab a hold of. Whatsoever things are honest. It's not something I can see in you. But you're supposed to do something with it. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue. And if there be any praise. Think. That's your mind. Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know, that passage is in the same place where, go up to verse 4. You're very familiar with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And then down here in verse 7 and 8, he's starting to talk to you about your mind. Things that you think about. Things that you ponder over in your heart. Whatsoever things are of all these things, it says, if there be any praise, think on these things. There's another passage which it says, set your affection upon things above and not on things of the earth, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Put your mind on those things. Now, I know we were here this morning. We had a good service, good time, good fellowship. How'd it go all afternoon? You know, where was your mind all afternoon? Now, I know you're going to get up tomorrow morning. And we'll have had a good service here tonight. I don't know. I guess we still need to find out if we've had a good service here tonight. But nevertheless, tomorrow morning you get up, get out of bed. What are you going to put your mind on? Oh, I know you might not do anything bad with your body. Because you know the Word of God teaches you shouldn't do that. And don't do that. And don't go here. Don't do this. Don't touch that. Don't drink that. What about think on these things? How about that? Whatsoever is lovely, pure, virtue, honest, lovely. Think on those things. Well, the sin of a selfish, soulless condition. What are the outward signs of this? Pride, worry, fear, fretting, temper. Temper. Now, where does that come from? It's not, you can't go to the store and buy temper, okay? That's something that comes from inside. It's generated from inside. How about murmuring, complaining? By the way, is that you? You're complaining all the time? Husband, are you complaining? Well, my wife this, my wife that. Wives, I wish my husband, you know. Murmuring, complaining. Impatience. I want it now. I want this done now. I want this. Jealousy, discouragement. Well, I'm discouraged. You know, again, that's not something you can do in your body. That's your soul. Discouragement, sensitiveness. Now, don't you say anything about me, or boy, are you sensitive? Your soul, that part of you that thinks and everything's not right. When these things are evident in your life, envy. Well, I wish I had what they had. Why can't I have what they have? Envy. Lying. Just plain out not telling the truth about something. Swearing. Melancholy. Oh, poor me. Poor me. Nothing ever goes right for me. Is that how it is? You know, that you're not happy when you're like that. And the Word of God says that, look, you're not a poor me. You're a saved sinner and you're a child of God. You have a home in heaven. Whoa, those are things. Now, here's some areas of a selfish condition. And all these start with the word self, okay? And that in that way, you see that it's a selfish condition. Self-love. I just love me. I love myself. I don't have love for others. And yet we're told to love each other and to have love for one another. And Christian brothers and sisters show their Christianity by their love which they have for each other. How about self-will? I want it my way. I want it done my way. You know what? Madison Avenue even markets things that you buy this way. They appeal to your selfishness and your selfish desire to have it your way. Remember Burger King used to do that, right? I don't know if they do it anymore, right? Have it your way. You can have it with pickles or without. Onions or without onions. Without ketchup, or if you want it all, put it on. Have it your way. You know what? I'm glad we actually don't always get it our way. Because I mess things up when I get it my way. We need to get it God's way. The Bible way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but it's the end thereof is destruction. Our way needs to be in submission to the Lord's way, the Bible's way. How about self-pity? Well, I'm the only one. No one else goes through the problems like I go through. Self-pity. Do you know there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, the Bible says. See how the Bible responds to these things? And if you read your Bible, you'll not give in to these selfish, soulish things that have to do with your mind and thinking that are going to knock it out and make you unhappy in the things of the Lord. The Bible will help you. Self-glory. Well, I won't do it unless there's something in it for me. Is there any praise in it for me? You know, all praise needs to go to the Father and to the Son. And when you have the right understanding of that from the Bible, you'll not be looking for self-praise. Well, I'm not going to help out in the church unless there's something in it for me, if there's some praise for me. Well, you know, I did something and the pastor didn't even acknowledge it. You know what? Get used to that, because this pastor, sometimes he doesn't know what's going on. All right? Just joking. All right? But don't be doing things just to get praise for it. You ought to do things in order to praise and honor the Lord who has done so many things for you. How about self-esteem? Will men look up to me? Self-esteem. Now, you know, this is the big thing out there in the psychobabble world, all right? We don't want to harm anybody's self-esteem. The Bible says to us, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. It says that. So see, if you're reading your Bible, you'll know that what they're saying out there in the world about self-esteem is not right. I shouldn't be only worried about my esteem. How do I? Now, I think it's important to make sure you have a good testimony and you're a good example in front of people. But when we're talking about, I wonder, how will people look at me when I do this or that? You're being selfish. And we need to be saying, how will they see Christ in me? Will they see Jesus in me? Self-seeking. What's in it for me? Kind of same thing as some of the other things. Self-seeking. You know, some people are just self-seeking. This is not something you see on the outside of them until maybe a little while later you start to say, boy, you know what? They only do things when it's advantageous for themselves. Self-seeking. And here's one. Boy, this is really deep. Selfishness. Selfishness. That's just plain out selfishness. You know, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't selfish when he came and accomplished for us. You know, he did everything for us. He came for us. He lived on this earth for us. He died for us. He rose up from the grave for us. How about self-interest? Well, I'm not interested in that, so I'm not going to be involved in that. Self-interest. You're only going to do something when you're interested in it. You know, you're going to be a pretty boring person. All right? The Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens and being concerned about others and praying for other people. You know, see how the Bible, the Word of God, like a sword, just pierces right in there into your soul and says, hey, yeah, come on, straighten up. Straighten up on that selfishness that you got there and that self-interest only. You mean to tell me you're not going to get involved with those people or have some good time of fellowship with them because you're not interested in what they're interested in? And by the way, shouldn't we all be interested in the Lord Jesus Christ? Shouldn't that bring us all together? 'Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more what? Fellowshipping together. Why should we fellowship together? I mean, look at this group here. You know, just kind of look around at each other, okay? You don't all do the same things. You don't all work at the same kind of jobs. You don't all have the same kind of interests. But what if you only came here if everyone here liked, you know, football? There are some people here, you know, they don't even know what football is. They don't know how to play it. And they don't have any interest in it. So you're going to say, well, you know what, I'm not going to go there. They're not interested in the things I'm interested in. We all ought to be interested in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Bible and the things of Christ. How about self-indulgence, living only for my own pleasure? Folks, that's pretty much the way the world lives. That's the way this whole world system is set up, to indulge their pleasures. Sometimes it's not always a pleasant thing to be serving the Lord and doing the things that please Him. Sometimes it hurts a little bit. You have to be persecuted. Not that you have to be, but you do get persecution. And things are not always easy in a smooth ride as far as Christianity is concerned. You know how I know that? Look at that prayer bulletin that we have. Look at all the troubles and problems that the Christians have that we pray about all the time. It's not a bed of roses until we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, you know what? We're not going to have to pray like that anymore. But until we get there, we're going to have to self. And how about self-realization? I need no help or counsel from anybody. I'll figure it out on my own. Well, you know what? You need this book. It guides, it's a counsel, it has admonition in here for you, and you need what's in this book. If you think that you're able to answer everything on your own, I don't need any help, I don't need any counsel, I don't need even to go and listen to preaching or teaching or get any counsel from anybody, I can do it on my own. Self-realization. That's a soul that's in trouble. And you need to let the Word of God, like a sword, get right down in there and say, here's what you need. Here's the help you need. Here's the counsel you need. You don't know which way to go, here's the Bible. The Bible will help you know which way to go. Self-sufficiency. Kind of the same thing. I can do it myself. Our sufficiency is of Christ. I need Jesus. Don't we sing that? I need Jesus. I need Him every hour. What a friend we have in Jesus. You don't need that. You're sufficient on your own. No, you do need it. I'm trying to show you these are things that you ought not to be showing in your soul life. Self-vindication. Please tell me if anything is wrong with me. Do you ever have anybody say, hey, if you see anything wrong with me, let me know. And as soon as you let them know, they want to justify. Well, you know the reason why I do it. Yeah. Then why'd you ask me, okay, to tell you if there's anything wrong? Well, you know, I think you're out of line telling me that. Wait a minute, I thought you just asked me to, you know. Self-vindication. No, the Word of God will say, you're not everything you think you are. You haven't arrived yet. There's Bible verses that tell us that we're not perfect. Even as believers, we're not perfect. We won't be until we get to heaven. I pray the Lord to preserve your whole body, soul, and spirit blameless under the coming of the Lord. You know, see, we need prayer in that regard because we're not blameless. How about self-satisfaction? Well, I'm satisfied the way I am. Oh, man. Are you really all that you should be? Well, I'm satisfied with myself. I think there's always room for improvement in the things of the Lord. Self-depreciation. Oh, I could never sing, teach a class. I could never be a deacon. Don't ask me to do that. I'm not equipped. Self-depreciation. You know what? If the Lord has called you to do some of these things and to help out in a church ministry, He'll give you the ability and the wisdom to do it. Don't count yourself out. Self-conscious. Well, I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. I can't pray in public. I've never said anything for the Lord. I'm self-conscious about it. You know what? We need to pray for boldness. And the Bible says, be bold. Be ready to give an answer to every man who asketh you of the reason of the hope that lieth within you with meekness and fear. See how I'm bringing a Bible verse in for almost every one of these things? See how the Bible helps you with these things? Self-constraint. Well, I'm able to keep myself from doing things that I shouldn't do. No, you need help from the Word of God as well. You need to know what the Bible says about certain things that you get involved with. Only the Word of God can affect you so much that this soulish condition can be given over to the Lord. All these things I just gave to you, self-love, self-will, self-pity, self-glory, self-esteem, self-seeking, selfishness, self-interest, self-indulgence, self-realization, self-sufficiency, self-vindication, self-satisfaction, self-depreciation, self-conscious, self-constraint. Who can help you with these things? Can you take a pill? Can you go to a class run by some unsaved guy who's just using the wisdom of the world? I have a solution for you. Whoa, right here. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even. Oh boy. Piercing even the joints and marrow. And the soul and spirit. And as a discerner, this book is a discerner. It understands your thoughts and intents of your mind. Wow. You don't need a doctor. I can save you some money. You know that? You know how much it costs to go to some of these guys? $100 a visit. And you got to do the copay most likely, you know? I say, use the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. It will help you be a better Christian. We know it helps in our bodies. I mean, it tells us don't drink, you know, don't commit adultery, fornication. Don't go to places you shouldn't go. Don't hang around with wicked people. I mean, that part helps our flesh. By the way, joints and marrow. It's a good thing you got joints. You know what? If you didn't have joints, you'd be like this, stiff as a board. No, the Word of God enables you to be able to move around the joints. And then the marrow that's inside of your bones. You need to have that. It produces the blood you need to operate your body. Joints and marrow. It doesn't say your bones. It says it gets down deeper than that. Your joints, right down in there. Yeah, and the marrow. The Bible tells you how you ought to use your body. And then your soul. It even wants to pierce right inside your mind, your heart, your soul, and it will tell you the way you ought to go. And if you do that, you won't have to go to these psychobabbles, okay? These doctors and with their pills. Well, I think you know what you need. You need to get a downer here. Oh, you need an upper. Or you need a cider. I don't know what they want to give you all kinds of stuff. Or you know what? Here's something they'll say. You need to drink a glass of wine every night. How about read some scripture? How about doing that? Now there's one more part of you. And that's your spirit. We'll hit that next time. You say, I'm not coming here anymore. You're getting into my... Well, okay. Probably am. But you know what? I'm preaching to me too. Preaching right to me too. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't have any of these problems. Oh, yes, I do. And I know I have those problems. So guess what? I know you got them. And the solution is this book. This book. And start reading it. Take a moment every day. Even if it's just a few verses, I'd be happy with that. Because I believe some of you are not even reading this thing at all. At all. And you really ought to be convicted about that. I know it might be tough time-wise and everything. But if you can't find time to spend some time in this Bible, you are too busy. Okay? You're too busy, and you're heading for a brick wall. You're heading for trouble. Get into God's Word. You husbands, you make sure that your children and that your wife get a portion of the Word of God too. Sit down with that family, get them gathered around you, and read some scripture. I'm not saying you got to preach to them, just read some scripture. Find some nice passages in there that maybe the kids will like. I always liked Daniel in the lion's den. Every time I'd sit down with my mom, she said, well, what would you like there? What would you like me to read? How about Daniel in the lion's den? It was about the third time in a row. She gets tired of it, but you know what? I know about Daniel in the lions. Oh, yeah. And there was a picture in that book, too. And I always remember that picture. You know, those are good things to think about. Like it says, any virtue, good things, pure things, think on these things. That's what we need. Okay, I keep on going. I'm done. I want to exhort you, read your Bibles. Read them. That's what I'm trying to tell you to do. It will help you. Dear God, thank you for these people and their attention to these things tonight. And I pray you'd give them all time to take some time and read your word for themselves, not just to go to church on, but for themselves for the day. And may it be a blessing to them in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.